The Spanish Civil War was a conflict so filled with endless episodes of cruelty and terror, endless episodes of mindless violence, that the incidents seemed to go on and on forever. You could literally devote an entire podcast channel to them. Many are well known, such as the executions in Badajoz and Paracuellos, which is outside of Madrid, or the aerial bombings of Madrid, or more famously or infamously, the bombing of Guernica, which was a horrific attack that was immortalized by Picasso in his painting by the same name. But the fact is, there were many more, tragedies and massacres to recall. Official figures, according to the Ministry of Justice, 2,567 mass graves exist in Spain. They have found some 58,000 victims, but it is estimated that there are still more than 114,000 still missing. And every now and then I come across a story that intrigues me more than usual. And the one I'm going to tell you about today is a particularly tragic and ruthless case. Surprisingly, in this case, it is a fairly unknown moment of wartime horror in the Spanish Civil War. A lot of people I tell the story to have never heard of it. And I'm talking about Spaniards for the most part, and it all took place right in the capital of Madrid. I am talking about none other than the Tunnel of Death of Usera. Usera, U-S-E-R-A, is a traditional working-class neighborhood in Madrid. Today, a large part of its residents are immigrants, and it is one of the most culturally diverse districts in the city. Back then, it would have been considered to be sort of the outskirts of town. Usera is located on the western side of the Manzanares River, to the west of downtown Madrid. And it was during this time, during the Civil War, it was basically right next to the Western Front, which had stagnated after Franco's initial assault of the city in the fall of 1936 failed, and basically the western side of Madrid became this long sort of north-south battlefront. Not much more happened after that until the end of the war. This is important for us to know because the story that we're telling you about takes place there, and it starts in the summer of 1937. That was when the creation of a secret police agency was set up by the Republican government. It was known as the SIM, S-I-M, or the Servicio, the Información Militar, which translates into English as basically the Military Information Service. This was a political police force, probably something more similar to like the Stasi or something like that. And it was designed to root out members of the famed and mythical Fifth Column, which was a group of ordinary citizens who lived in Madrid and who quietly and secretively supported Franco. Just how numerous this group was has never been determined, but the Franco supporters, Franco's army, were hoping they would have a more decisive impact on the city, and yet they tended to be a little bit quieter. So this agency, the SIM, was trying to find out where these people were, where they lived. And during the fall of 1937, there was a concerted effort made by a high command officer named Casimiro Duran, who wanted to sort of smoke out pro-Franco individuals in Madrid, many of whom were hiding out in the embassies seeking asylum, as well as other places like pensions, small hotels, or even private homes. Now, Duran came up with a plan to lure them out by spreading a rumor a rather indirect one, I might add, that there was a tunnel that led from the Republican side to the nationalist side in the neighborhood of Madrid known as Usera. And that's basically what happened. Duran initiated the rumor and just sort of waited for word to get around. Now, many of the future victims were right-wing sympathizers, monarchists, or members of the upper class, aristocracy, nobility, industrialists, people who were in favor of traditional Spanish values and supported Franco. They were hiding in these places I was telling you about, sort of hoping to escape persecution. And Duran was trying to find out who these people were, where they were living, and he wanted to get rid of them. And eventually, the rumor spread wide enough that a number of people began to take the bait. The first was an individual who was holed up in the embassy of Paraguay, I believe. And on October 18th, 1937, he was picked up and taken to a location in the Usera neighborhood. And he had taken with him, as instructed, money and valuables in exchange for safe passage. Now, instead of being led to safety, the victims were taken to a house, which I think was sort of a family-run hotel at the time, on a street known as Calle Alfonso Olivares, which is now called Calle Monederos. It has a different name. And then they were ushered downstairs to the basement, which they must have thought was the beginning of their journey through the tunnel to the other side. But instead, they were robbed, tortured in some cases, and executed. No one was spared, it would seem. Men, women, families. In one group, five brothers from the same family were murdered in cold blood. And then there were students, just a bit of everything. One was even a former goalkeeper for the soccer team Atlético de Madrid. These horrific crimes went on for weeks until November 13th, nearly a month later, when the nationalist general stationed in Andalusia, General Gonzalo Capo de Llano, well known for his radio talks, publicly warned of these suspicious activities after learning from families that their loved ones, who were supposed to have reached the nationalist side, never did. So word got out that there was something up, people were trying to get away, and they would just disappear. And that pretty much put a very abrupt end to a very ugly episode in the war. Now, just how many individuals fell victim to this twisted ruse is unknown, but most estimate somewhere between 70 and maybe as high as 100, as the famous historian Hugh Thomas suggested. In fact, I owe this podcast to Hugh Thomas because when I was reading his book on the Spanish Civil War, he mentions this story almost in passing. I mean, it's like a 1,000-page book, and maybe half a paragraph was devoted to this. But anyway, it sort of piqued my curiosity, and here I am telling you about today. And so that high number of 100 is possible. They have identified, or they at the time the forensic experts were able to identify some 67 to 70 individuals. They said they had remains of about 30 other people, but they didn't know who they were and they couldn't identify them. So anyway, for now, the number still stands at around 70, which is still a horrific number of innocent people being slaughtered in a very premeditated way. Now, most of the bodies were discovered in a mass grave after the war on the site where it took place or nearby. An investigation ensued. It became part of a legal proceeding known as the causa general, the general cause, which was an attempt by the Franco government to dig up, quite literally in this case, any war crimes and even pre-war acts of violence perpetrated by the Republicans as a way of justifying the uprising in 1936. Because of its propagandistic nature, the Causa General has always been a source whose reliability is somewhat dubious at times. Not that it was necessarily making up tragedies, but it has been accused of exaggerating the facts. In this case, though, it seems pretty certain that most of what has been discovered apparently is accurate and that the tragic events did take place. Personally, it seems like the work of sort of a sociopath, in this case Casimiro Duran, acting independently from anything sanctioned by the government. Duran disappeared after the war, and no one really knows what became of him. After the investigation was completed, the bones, the remains, were put in a crypt, and then on top of that crypt, there was a convent that was built and a church, and then after that, it sort of expanded into a Catholic girls' school, and it is now co-ed. I have to admit, I was pretty stunned when I heard about that. The thought of an elementary school being founded on the very same ground of such a heinous crime, war crimes, seems so counterintuitive to me that I didn't know what to think. But maybe there was something to it. Maybe it was the idea of having innocent children there to sort of be ideal guardians of those martyrs, or at least who they considered to be martyrs. Who knows? Anyway, the crypt still exists, and I'm still trying to get a chance to see it, but so far I have been unsuccessful. But if there's an update there, I will let you know. And that will be all for this podcast brought to you by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the very best information about Spain, Spanish history, and Spanish culture. We do this for free, but we greatly appreciate the support or any support that you can provide. You can do so by clicking on our PayPal donate button on our website, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. And if you want to check us out on our YouTube channel, do so and support us by subscribing. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.